We're doing Pirkei Avot with the Rambam's commentary. We're up to the 4th chapter, the 13th Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Ha'ose mitzvah achat, kanalo praklit echad. Someone did one mitzvah, so he acquired for himself one defense attorney. Va'over avera achat, and the person who transgressed one sin, kanalo kategor echad, he acquired for himself one prosecutor. Tshuva u'masim tovim, tshuva, repentance, yeah?
Repentance.
And good deeds?
Atonement is better.
Okay. Ketris lifnei apuranut. They are like a tris. A tris is a type of shield. And they shield a person from all kinds of bad things happening. Puranut. So the Rambam explains, what does the word praklit mean? We said a person who does a good deed acquires a praklit. He is a person who speaks good about a person before the king, and he makes claims on behalf of a person before the king. The kategor hefechze. Kategor is the opposite. He's a person who tells the king what someone did wrong, and he is trying to get the guy wiped out. Amar, so the Mishnah tells us, you know, you do something positive, you acquire in heaven someone who's going to try to push forward good things on your behalf. You do something negative, so there's someone out there who's some angel that's speaking badly on our behalf. So the Mishnah concludes and says, Shuva achal ma'asim ra'im. When a person does tshuva, when he repents after he did something bad, or alternatively, ma'asim tovim mibatchila. If he began by doing good things, then he did something wrong. But initially he has good deeds. Kol echad mishtei elu, either one of these two, mon'ot et hapuranut v'apgayim milavo l'adam. They prevent a person from suffering at the hands of his sins. No one's perfect. We all know that we have things we've done wrong. So on the one hand, we should have a lot of good things that protect us. And on the other hand, we should try to do tshuva, and that also protects us. But you know, by inference, we understand from the Mishnah that part of what causes a person to have difficult situations in life is the kategor, the claims up above against what he's done down below. Mishnah Yudalit, Rabbi Yochanan Asandlar. So the Rambam in his introduction to Mishnah explained that sometimes we refer to Tanoim by their trade. There were a few rabbis named Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan, who was he fixed sandals, he was known as Rabbi Yochanan Asandlar. That was a way of knowing who he was. He says, "Hu omer kol knisa shehi l'shem shamayim sofa leitkayem." Anytime you have a, in our Mishnah, it's probably knesia, right? Anytime you have a gathering for the sake of heaven, so that gathering will last what they try to build together. V'sheina l'shem shamayim en sofa leitkayem, and one that is not for the sake of heaven will not last. Million man march, right? What do we know of it today? We know that Obama participated. That's what we know. What do you know?
Oh, in the
Million Man March on Washington. Wow. There was once a big anti-Semite named Louis Farrakhan. He made a Million Man March on Washington. So Obama participated. I mean, he was big in it. He was heavily involved. Rabbi Elazar Omer. Rabbi Elazar says, Yehi chevot talmidcha chaviv alecha kechvot chavercha. The honor of your disciple should be cherished by you like the honor of your friend. A person is not supposed to treat a disciple looking down at him. And it's not only talking about how to honor a disciple, it's talking about how you cherish his honor, how you contemplate what to tell him, when to tell him. You have a responsibility to teach him, but at the same time, cherish his honor. It's not only talking about giving it, it's talking about the attitude we have towards it. V'chavot chavecha, and when it comes to the honor of your friend, that should be treated kemora rabach, like the awe you have of your teacher. It's supposed to be that a person has a teacher he has awe of. Umora rabach, and what's the awe of one's teacher supposed to be like? Kemora shemayin, like the awe of heaven. The teacher is supposed to be representative of that. Chazal said when you choose a rabbi that's going to be your rabbi, so you're supposed to look at someone who you feel he's like an angel. If you look at him and you feel, that's like an angel, So go learn by him. You feel like he's a positive person, he's a kind person, he does good deeds. When you look at him, you see a positive person, that's what you should learn by. Don't just gauge how much he knows. So the Mishnah tells us, now we can work our way backwards. The Mishnah began from bottom up. It said, the honor of your disciple should be cherished by you like the honor of your friend. Your friend should have honor like the awe you have of your teacher. And the awe of your teacher is supposed to be like the awe of Shemaim, of heaven. And now let's work backward. So the awe of heaven down to the awe of one's teacher. The awe of teacher, like the honor of the friend. The honor of the friend cherished like the honor of the disciple, or vice versa. But you notice it's not identical. We went from cherishing honor to awe. Yeah? Cherishing honor to awe. You guys notice that in the Mishnah? Yeah? Okay. Is anyone with me, or am I all alone here? Cherish the honor of your friend, the Mishnah said, like the honor of your cherish the honor of your disciple like the honor of your friend. Honor your friend. Doesn't say cherish the honor of your friend. Honor your friend like the awe you have of your teacher. Have awe of your teacher like the awe you have of heaven. There's an involvement here. It seems like they're overlapping, but the truth is the Mishnah needs work. We just agreed that in this learning we would not focus on anything other than Maimonides. And being that the
you're taking your awe and transferring it into honor.
Something like that, right?
You're using the awe as the honor. You're bringing the honor as much as the awe is.
Something like that. I don't know exactly how it works. And we're getting a perspective, a clear picture I don't have on this. And Maimonides doesn't tell us anything on this. There's no commentary on this Mishnah nor the next one. Yes?
With all due respect, like, you're translating kavod as written in Hebrew with different ideas in English. But how can we understand this chavod to different, like, should we also understand this chavod to the, when it comes to Tamidecha and chavod to Chavrecha?
Let's read the words. 1 second. And you'll see where I'm getting what I'm saying from. Yehi chvod talmidcha, the honor of your student should be chaviv alecha, cherished by you. The words chaviv alecha is really the directive here. It should be cherished. You're right, we're talking about the honor of your student, but we're not talking about how to honor him, we're talking about how you should cherish it. Kichvod chavecha, like the honor of your friend.
But it should be the same standard as the awe of your God.
You could say that the word chaviv alecha is a reference to the whole Mishnah. That really the Mishnah is saying you should cherish the following. Cherish your student's honor like you cherish your friend's honor. Cherish your friend's honor like you cherish the awe of your teacher. And cherish the awe of your teacher like you cherish the awe of Shemaim. It's a little difficult for me to think that we cherish the awe, cherish fear. I have a hard time with that.
Maybe the word cherish is not the right word. Right.
How did they translate it? You guys have an English.
Hold in awe.
Right, but the beginning of the Mishnah, the Chaviv, the first sentence, endear to you, no.
Be precious as is.
Okay, so, I don't know, Mishnah Tetzain, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Hevei Zahir B'Talmud, be careful when you learn, Sheshigigata Talmud Ola Zadon, that an error in learning causes you to purposely sin. You think that this is the way you're supposed to do it, so you got to be careful how you learn. The person has to be extra careful. Mishnah Yudzayin, and here again, the Rambam felt he has to explain. Until here, the Rambam thought it was self-explanatory. No comments. Mishnah Yudzayin, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, and when we have Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, who is it? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay? Rabbi Shimon says, Shlosha Ketarim Hin. There are three crowns. Ketor Torah, Veketor Kuna, Veketor Malchut. The crown of Torah, the crown of what we might translate as priesthood, and the crown of kingship. So there are three crowns, but suddenly he's going to tell us, and there's another crown, the Keter Shem Tov, and the crown of a good name, Ole Al Gabein, goes above all of them. So how does this work? Says the Rambam. Elu ha-shalosh ma'alot ha-gdolot nitnu la'uma. We're talking, when we discuss these three crowns, that these are three positions of leadership that were given to the nation. Mereshit ha-tzibuyim. From the beginning that God started commanding us, there were three positions of leadership in the Jewish people. You had the king, you had the leader of Torah, you had the priest or the leader of the priests. Those were the three positions of leadership. והם הכהונה והמלכות והתורה, priesthood, kingship and Torah. כהונה זכה באהרון. Aaron, he merited, that's it. I can't be a Kohen anymore. You know, my father wasn't a Kohen, my grandfather wasn't a Kohen. I'm not going to be a Kohen. Aaron got it for his family. Umalchut zechah ba-David, the crown of kingship. Well, that you got to come from the Davidic dynasty. David merited. God saw him worthy. It would stay in his family. Beketel Torah munach. But the crown of Torah is sitting and waiting. Lekol ha-rotzeh li-itatel. But anyone that wants to attain that crown, you want to be the giant of Torah, the giant of this generation, you could. It's up to you. It's waiting. You don't have to be the son of anyone. You don't have to be from a specific family. No. Whoever wants to, it's waiting for whoever wants. Amru v'shema tomar sha'ketra zeh pachotu min ha'shnayim. So our sages thought, maybe you'll say that this crown, the crown of Torah, is less than the other two crowns. Lo, it's not so. Ela yoter gadol mehim. Uvo yiyu ha'shnayim. It is not so, but rather the crown of Torah is bigger than the other two crowns. And the other two crowns can only be sustained with the crown of Torah. You can't have a king without Torah. You can't have a Kohen without Torah. The Pasuk says, "Bi melachim yimlochu, bi sarim yasoru." With me, the Torah says, that's how kings can rule. With me, the rulers, the Kohanim, can do their business. But if a Kohen doesn't know Torah, he can't do much with the fact that he's born a Kohen. And if a king doesn't have Torah, he's not going to be a proper king. So we have these three crowns of leadership. Then the Mishnah says there's a fourth crown, and that is the crown of a good name. Aval keter shem tov hari hu nikneh b'Torah, and that crown too can only be acquired through the crown of Torah. You learn what the Torah directs us, what type of people we're supposed to be. Through that you can acquire a good name. Kolomar limudah v'kiyum mitzvoteh, through the learning of Torah and the fulfilling of mitzvos. Lefi shevekach yiyah shem hatov amiti, and that you attain the real good name. Meaning sometimes people think a good name is something different than what a good name is. He's a great basketball player. He can eat 50 francs in a sitting. You know, there are a lot of things people take pride in. They made it to the Guinness Book of World Records. But we say, what's a good name? So he's always there for us. He's always playing hockey. He's the best goalie. Chazal said you have to know what's a good name. And the true good name is the good name that the Torah teaches us, how to be truly good people and truly kind people. And sometimes this is challenging. A person comes back to his hometown, and his friends say, you don't want to go out for a beer? He says, well, no, not really, but I don't mind going out to the park. Oh, you're no fun. And then a guy gets a reputation that he's no fun, that's it. He's weird, he's got those little strings sticking out of his pants, and he's wearing that beanie on his head, and they look at him, and now he doesn't feel like he's gotten a really great name. And that's why we need this shot in the arm from the Rambam. You want to know what the real great name is? You should know. You got to have perspective. If you're in the right crowd, so it's easy. But sometimes you go and visit the other crowd, and then they're not always so happy with us. So we have to bear in mind, what's the real good name? That's what the Rambam just told us. The real good name is when you're really a good person. And with time, even those people come to appreciate it. It takes time. And in the beginning, people look at us and they're disappointed that we're not what we were. People like that we remain constant. And when we want to grow, very often that bothers people. Because you're not what you used to be. It could be from the aunt who you used to give a kiss to, and then you learn you're not supposed to touch your aunt. To your friends who want one kind of a good time, and now you're interested in a different type of a good time. And could be your parents, your siblings. But at the end of the day, we have to know that if we do stick to the way of the Torah, and the way of the Torah, the way of the Torah are pleasant. We don't have to fight anyone. We don't have to cave into anyone, but we don't have to fight anyone. If we really stick to the way of the Torah, then with time they learn to appreciate it. We once had a student who, he said, how can I go on date? All my siblings married girls that are different than the girls I want to date. And my parents are knocking every girl that I would consider dating. So Rabbi said to him, he said, wait 5 years. After you're married for 5-10 years, and they see how your wife treats them with respect and calls them and wishes them a good Shabbos, and their other daughters-in-law, even though that's what they said they wanted, girls running around in minis and beauties and everything, but at the end of the day, how are they going to treat your parents? And how's your wife going to treat your parents? Give it 10 years. how are your children going to learn to speak to your grandparents, and how are their children? And it's interesting, recently, a few months ago, I bumped into him, and he said to me, what that rabbi said was so true. It was so true. He said, today, he was coming off of a conversation he had with his parents. He said, my parents just told me that they have such appreciation that I chose such a wife, that she has the kids, they call them every week, the grandchildren. The parents are on chutzarts. The grandchildren call every week and wish them a good Shabbos and tell them what they've been learning, and the daughter-in-law calls and sees how they're doing. Initially, people don't necessarily appreciate the good name of the Torah, that you're going in the way of the Torah. Initially, it irks them. Why are you different? It takes time to see the beauty of the Torah. And that's why the Rambam's telling us here, you want to know how you acquire the real good name, that's how you'll acquire the real good name, but it'll take time. Doesn't mean in the beginning people will reflect what the good name that you really deserve. We have a few moments, right? Mishnah Yudchet, Rabbi Noorai Omer, Rabbi Noorai taught, and Rabbi Noorai literally means to give light, just like Meir. There's a discussion, who was Rabbi Noorai? So Rabbi Noorai taught, he teaches, Hevei gole limkom Torah, exile yourself to a place of Torah, ve'al tomar shehi tavo acharai, and don't say, oh, the Torah is going to follow me. Wherever I go, you know, there are classes online, there's torahforme.org, machonmeir.net, there's a lot of Torah out there. Torah's Rabbi Noorai, no. When you choose where you go, even if it's called exile, the place you live has to be a place of Torah. And guys, if there's one point that guys in Machon Meir err on, it's this Mishnah. Very often a guy comes to Machon Meir and he says, you know, I came from Holland, and I learned all about Judaism out there, so I can go back to Holland. Ah, but it's not easy to find kosher food in Holland. And it's not easy to find a minyan in Holland. But when a person grew out of there, it's natural for him to go back. And the Mishnah warns us, no, when you choose where to live, you have to choose based on a place of Torah. People have left Machon Meir very strong. People who woke up every morning for Vasikin, and they were keeping every mitzvah and learning all day long. And then they went out to live in the places they came from. We have students all over. And unfortunately, a lot of them are not keeping what they should be keeping. Because, you know, over time, a guy lives in Salt Lake City, it's a little hard. After a year or 2 years, he has no community, no shul, no one to talk Torah to. So in the beginning, he's very strong. But what happens after time? Time does its thing. Who are his friends? Who is he going to spend time with? And a person has to think about this. When you think about where you're going to live and where you're going to raise your family, Rabbi Noorai gave us the formula. Choose a place of Torah. A place where you will have Torah, where your children will have Torah. Don't assume that the Torah will follow you, or that the Torah is already inside of you. Shechaverecha yekaimua biyadecha, because your friends will keep the Torah in your hands. Ve'el binatcha al tisha'en, and don't rely on your own understanding. Says the Rambam, Amar, he taught us, Bakesh makom alimud, lefi she'im acherim yitbarer lecha alimud ve'itkeyim. Because if you have other people around you, with them you will be able to attain true learning and maintain your learning. Ve'al tismoch la'habanatcha ve'tomar enitzoch b'chaverim. A person shouldn't say, you know, I learn a good part of the day alone. I'm learning in the library in Machon Meir. I have my art scroll, I have all the tools I need. I could grow wherever I am. No, says the Mishnah. You need friends, and you need students, and you need other people at your stage who know more than you, less than you, but you need an environment of Torah. And even if you're the rabbi, don't assume you don't need the students. You need the students because they'll arouse you to know more than you know you know. It's one of the things Rabbi Feinstein once told me. He said, when you come to give a class, you suddenly discover yourself saying things you didn't even know you knew. Good students bring out from within the teacher things that the teacher didn't realize he had. Okay, we'll pause here for today.